Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
This is the need of the hour. What we need is to see the Spirit of God poured out. We need to be freshly empowered by the Spirit. We need this gospel to go forth, and we need to see lives transformed through the power of Christ. That's how things change. That's how society changes. That's how cultures change. It changes because people change.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, in a message titled, The Power and Purpose of the Spirit. Now here's Pastor Brian.
He breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I personally think when Jesus did that, as John tells us, I think they did receive the Holy Spirit. I think they received the Holy Spirit in the sense that it was at that moment that they were converted, regenerated. It was at that moment that the Spirit of God took up residence in them, like he does in us when we put our faith in Christ. You see, they believed in Jesus before, but Jesus hadn't died and risen from the dead yet. So the indwelling of the Spirit that is common to all believers was not yet their experience. So it seems to me that Jesus is talking to men who have already received the Spirit in one sense, but now he's talking about something in addition to that. So the distinction is this. The distinction is between regeneration and indwelling and baptism and empowering. So the word regenerate means to make alive. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you believe in Jesus, you are regenerated. You are made alive. And you are made alive because the Spirit of God comes and brings you to life and indwells you. That's what happens to everyone who believes in Jesus. But what we're talking about when we're talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit is we're not talking about regeneration and indwelling. We're talking about an immersion, because that's what baptism means, and an empowering. So this is for power. So like I said, I think these guys, they're already indwelt by the Spirit. Now think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus was, from his conception, filled with the Spirit, right? He's God's son. He's the Son of God. So there's never a time Jesus is not filled with the Spirit, just by his very nature, but there comes a time where the Spirit comes upon him. We read about it in his baptism. Remember, he's baptized by John, and as he comes up out of the water, the Spirit descends upon him in the form of the dove. The Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And what happens after that? It's after that that Jesus begins his ministry. It's after that that he goes forth in that power to raise the dead and to heal the sick and to cast out the demons and all of that kind of thing. So what happened to Jesus, I think, is the same thing that Jesus is telling these men is going to happen to them. Now, just a quick and I think an important side note. Now, as Jesus is telling them about this, they've got something else on their mind. And this is it. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, remember, these guys, they really didn't understand God's plan. They didn't understand the messianic program. They thought, like all of their contemporaries in Israel thought, that the Messiah was going to mainly do one thing. He was going to come and he was going to boot out the oppressive Romans and he was going to set up the kingdom of David, and that was going to be a worldwide reign. That's what they thought. Now, during the life and ministry of Jesus, they're perplexed. He's talking about dying and rising again. And every time they hear this, they're looking at each other like, what is he talking about? You see, because in their mind, the Messiah didn't die. He was a conquering hero. And so this is, so now they figured, okay, we got that wrong because he did die, but now he's back. So now it must be time for the kingdom to be restored to Israel. So that's what they're asking him. You know, it's the same question that we're asking today. They were just asking him back then. Now for us, it's, Lord, when are you coming back? For them, it was like, Lord, you're here, so let's just do it now. But today, people are sitting around speculating about, trying to figure out, when is Jesus coming again? But Jesus made it crystal clear. No one knows when he is returning. And it's not our job. Now, I love Bible prophecy. I believe in Bible prophecy. I think it's important that we as God's people understand and know Bible prophecy. But listen, we're not to be obsessed with it. To the distraction from the main thing. What is the main thing? Jesus goes on and he tells them what the main thing is. And basically what I'm saying here is Jesus wanted them, and he wants us to stay focused on the main thing. So what is the main thing? It's not for you to know times or seasons. The Father has these in his own authority. That's God's business. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You see, Jesus is saying to them, you know, don't worry about this. This isn't your thing. You don't have to do anything about this. This is God's deal. And listen, that's the same word for us today. God will determine when Jesus will return. And God will orchestrate or allow to, you know, the world to line up in all of those ways. And you know, he didn't ask us to participate in that. That's his business. That's his job. He's doing that. What he's called us to do is to get the message of Christ to each and every person that's on the planet. That's what he's called us to do. You shall receive power. And so that's what Jesus tells them. That's the main thing. But you shall receive power. Now, like I said a minute ago, Christianity is marked by power, supernatural power. People often ask the question, well, do you believe in miracles today? Of course I believe in miracles today. I believe in God. And I believe in the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible and the message of the Bible tells me that the promises of the Spirit, which include miracles, they're for that generation lived then, they're for their children and their children, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call right to the very return of Christ himself. So we believe in the miraculous. We believe in the supernatural. And what we're talking about here is something that's supernatural. You shall receive power. Now, the word here, the Greek word, maybe you've heard this word, it's dunamis. Dunamis, this is the root word for our words, dynamic and dynamite. So if you think of those two words, I mean, you know, when you think about somebody who's dynamic, I don't even have to explain it, right? You can picture that. Or when you think of dynamite, I don't have to really explain that either, right? When dynamite blows up, it's something happens. So Jesus is talking about us receiving dunamis, power. Now, the word dunamis is translated in various ways, but it's translated as power 77 times in the King James Version. It's translated as mighty work 11 times, and it's translated as miracle 7 times. So what we're talking about here is a miracle. We're talking about a mighty work. We're talking again about something supernatural that's going to take place. But I want you to notice this. When the Spirit comes, and look at the word that Jesus used. Look at the preposition. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That takes us back to what I was saying a few moments ago. We're talking about something different. Now, Jesus had previously said to these same men, the Spirit dwells with you, and he shall be in you. So at the time, before Jesus had gone to the cross, the Spirit was with them. Jesus dies, goes to the cross, rises from the dead, gathers them together, breathes on them. The Spirit is now in them. But now he's talking about another experience. the Spirit shall come upon you. You see, the primary result of the Spirit coming upon us is power, supernatural power, God's power. Here's the good news. God has not left us to try to live the Christian life or to advance his kingdom in our own strength. We say that all the time, but we have to realize it's absolutely true. God has called us to live the Christian life, but then he's indwelling us by his Spirit to enable us to do what we can't do ourselves. God has called us to go out into all the world with the gospel, something that is daunting to say the least. We look at ourselves and think, well, you know, how could we possibly do this? We can't do it if it's left up to just our own strength or our own devices or our own ingenuity. God never intended us to do it that way. He wants to empower us by his Spirit. His Spirit comes upon us, and that is the result. We receive supernatural power. Now, I know that some of you are probably going, I don't really know about this. I'm not sure about what you're talking about. I know that others of you, you might not be clear on it from a, you know, from a doctrinal theological standpoint, but you know the experience of it. And you know, I would venture to say that, you know, hopefully all of us, maybe not all of us, but many of us, we've had those kinds of experiences where we have sensed that there's something beyond us that's taking place. There's something happening that's beyond me. You know, I'm in a conversation with a person and I'm feeling, you know, sort of nudge towards speaking to them about Christ. And then I start to talk to them and I find that I'm just telling them things that I didn't even really realize that I knew. And I'm actually kind of marveling myself as I'm saying, wow, I didn't know I knew that, but that's really good stuff. I'm going to keep telling them. And, or maybe you just, you know, you suddenly just sense like, wow, I am like saying this in such a great way. I don't really talk like this normally. I don't have a vocabulary like this. You know, something beyond you is happening. Have you ever had that experience? That's the Spirit. That's what the Spirit does. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And that's what every one of us are potentially the recipients of this experience. Because this is that coming upon of the Spirit. Now, what is the purpose? Well, like we've already indicated, the purpose is, and you shall be witnesses to me. That's the purpose. The purpose of the Spirit is to empower us to be a witness. Now, the word witness, the Greek word is martys. We know that word more familiarly as martyr. When we think of a martyr, what do we think of? We think of somebody who dies for their faith, right? Well, the word became applied to people who died for their faith because they died bearing witness to Christ. The Greek word is a word that really just referred to a witness. It referred to someone in a courtroom who testifies to what they have seen or heard. So Jesus says, the Spirit will come upon you and you will be witnesses to me. God is going to empower us to proclaim the gospel. That's what it is to be a witness to Jesus. It's to proclaim the gospel, or to put it in an even more simple way, it's the power to tell the story of Jesus. You know, sometimes when we say, go out and proclaim the gospel, people are like, gee, what's that? What are the 5 points of the gospel, or what are the 4 spiritual laws? It's the story of Jesus. So God empowers us to go forth and to tell the story of Jesus, who he is, what he did, what that means to us. Who is he? He's God the Son who came into the world. What did he do? He died in our place. He rose from the dead to conquer death, and he ascended from the grave. Or he ascended back into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit, and now he lives in the hearts of those who put their trust in him. The Spirit of God empowers us to bring this message to testify of who Jesus is and what he's done. And oftentimes that can happen in the context of your own personal story. You tell your story that is really a Jesus story because it's what Jesus did for you. And with the power of God helping you to do that, that is what is being talked about here, being witnesses to him. And notice it's Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, of course, that's where it all began. And that's in the people that it began with, that's where they were. But it basically is saying you start where you are and then you go out from there. And so that's what they did. So as we study here, we're starting in Jerusalem. And when we get to the end of chapter 28, we're going to find that Paul is there in Rome. But we're going to see between chapter 1 and chapter 28, we're going to see that they went all over the place. They did exactly what it says here. And they actually went in sort of this order. They started in Jerusalem, then they went out to Judea, then they went up into Samaria, and then there's references to what happened in Galilee, and then it just, you know, went beyond that into Syria, and then all around the world. And so for us today, it starts in our home base, so to speak of. As a congregation, it starts here, and then it goes out to our, let's say our county, and then we think about our state, and then we can think about our nation, and then we can think beyond the nations. You know, Pastor Chuck used to have a great way of kind of talking about how things happen exponentially, where wherever you go and you start a church, you basically plant a new Jerusalem from which you have a Judea, a Samaria, and you have the ends of the earth. And so everywhere you go, you got all of these Jerusalems and they've got their Judeas, Samarias, and that's the way things happen. That's the way things proceed. Now, let me just say this, and I know that you know this, but let me just remind you, this is the need of the moment. This is the need of the hour. What we need is to see the Spirit of God poured out. We need to be freshly empowered by the Spirit. We need this gospel to go forth, and we need to see lives transformed through the power of Christ. That's how things change. That's how society changes. That's how cultures change. It changes because people change. And this is the great need of the hour. Now, that's not to say that we don't need other things happening as well to keep the sanity and to prevent everything from imploding. Yes, thank God for those other things that are happening. But the great need is this. And we are the people. You shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. See, we are the recipients of this. And so as we close today, there's just a few questions that I want us to think about. And number one is this: has the Spirit come upon you? Can you say, yes, I know the Spirit has come upon me? And if you're not sure, then you need to make that experience a reality. You need to make sure that you've had that, because from Jesus' perspective, this isn't really an optional thing. This is absolutely essential if the job is going to be done. Second question, are we witnesses to Jesus? Are we bearing witness to him? Are we testifying through our words? Are we speaking about Jesus? Now, we're going to see again as we go through, you know, you might have a timid personality, which would then, you know, kind of keep you back from that sort of thing, because it's just not your personality. But the Holy Spirit is there to, not to change your personality, but to give you power within the context of your personality. And as we go through this book of Acts, what we're going to see is that we're different personalities, different people with different giftings and things like that. But the power of the Spirit made the difference in everyone's life. So Timothy, for example, who we'll read about sometime here in the book of Acts, Timothy was by nature a very timid person, but he was also filled with the Spirit. And so God took that timid personality and added the power of the Spirit, and Timothy became an effective minister of the gospel and an effective evangelist. And so that's what the Lord is going to do. But there's not just the witness in word, but there's also the witness and deed, right? We need to be living the life. We need to be living the life of the Spirit. And then, thirdly, are we immersed in the Spirit? Because remember, after all, baptism means immersion. That's the meaning of the word. It means to be immersed. Under the water is the picture. So are we immersed in the Spirit? Are we the people of the Spirit? Are we living with the, not just the consciousness of the supernatural, but are we living with the expectation of the supernatural? Are we living with the experience of the supernatural? You know, it's very subtle, but I know even from my own life experience, there are times when just the world itself just kind of, you know, it's working to take the edge off of our spiritual sensitivity. So we're not even thinking so much in terms of the supernatural. We're not so much expecting the Lord to supernaturally intervene, but we need to be living in that expectation. And if we're immersed in the Spirit, we will be. And so here we go. Two things, finally. Because this is the experience that we're all to have. How can I assure that this will be my experience? Well, here, Jesus said, wait until you receive power. Now, as a result of that, some people throughout the history of the church have said, well, in order to get this power, we need to wait. And they actually had meetings. You know, an old English word for wait is tarry. So they had what they called tarrying meetings. We're going to tarry. We're going to wait on the Lord to receive that power. Now, I'm not saying that that's an entirely bad idea, but they had to wait for a specific reason, because this event was scheduled for 10 days later on God's calendar. This was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. So Jesus is telling them to wait specifically for that day. So we don't have any specific day that Jesus says, okay, you know, wait till that day and then I will meet you and baptize you in the Spirit. But I would say that waiting on the Lord, or in other words, spending time seeking Him and saturating ourselves in the things of the Spirit, will certainly lend itself to us being more aware of His presence, and it will lend itself to us having this kind of experience versus just going about our merry way and not really taking time to think or do anything about it. So wait on the Lord. Spend time seeking Him. Saturate yourself in the things of the Spirit. You know, we are just so bombarded by everything but the things of the Spirit, right? And so in order to really saturate in things of the Spirit, we have to wait in the sense that, you know, we kind of got to get away from some things. We got to be intentional and take some time. So that's one. Secondly, we are to ask. Ask, seek, knock is what Jesus said. And more specifically, He said, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And in Luke's gospel, interestingly, now Matthew records that same thing for us. Asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. But Luke puts it in a different context. Luke puts it in the context of asking, seeking, and knocking, for your Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, seek, and knock. Luke ties the asking, seeking, knocking to requesting that work of the Spirit. And so, these are the two things I want to leave us with. Waiting on the Lord, asking Him to do this, and expecting Him to do it. But of course, it comes down, even before that, to the recognition we need this. God, I need this. Lord, please, would You do this in my life? So, let's ask Him for that.
For the month of October, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled, Is God Anti-Gay? And Other Questions About Homosexuality and Same-Sex Attraction by Sam Albury. Writing from his own temptation about same-sex attraction, pastor, author, and speaker Sam Albury shares what the Bible says about same-sex attraction and how Christians can respond biblically, both inside and outside the church. The book is God Anti-Gay and Other Questions About Homosexuality and Same-Sex Attraction by Sam Albury is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbrodison.uk, where you can find more resources or sign up for Pastor Brian's free weekly email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.